During this portion of Vocal Point, we're going to be talking about the impeachment inquiry and the whole process. Our guest is Roger L. Simon. He is the founder of PJ Media, pjmedia.com. He's also the author of a new novel called The Goat. Roger, it's great to have you on the program. By the way, I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Thanks for joining us, Roger.
Pleased to be here.
Okay, great. You could quickly, if you wanted to, just mention this novel that you've written, The Goat, and then we'll get right into the issue of the impeachment inquiry.
Okay, very quickly, this is my 13th book, actually, and I've also written 7 feature films and have an Academy Award nomination to show for it.
Wow.
But The Goat, I think, is my best book, and it should be of great interest to conservatives, because if you are familiar with Second Life stories like Faust, and whether it's good to live a second great life or not, or like Damn Yankees says, the power line people said it was like, then you'll like The Goat, which is funny, and which is The Goat as in, not in Billy Goat, but as The Goat in sports term, G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time.
Oh.
And it's about a guy in his 70s who ends up being in his 20s again, I'm not going to explain how, and competing to become The Goat against Federer and Nadal and Djokovic and Wimbledon, etc.
Wow.
And marrying a beautiful woman and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And there's already movie interest. So we read it first. And you can find it on Amazon in 3 forms.
Okay.
Kindle,
all right.
Now the impeachment.
Yeah, well, wait. Speaking of movies, you mentioned that you've actually been nominated for writing a script. What movie, if I could ask?
Oh, I adapted the novel of Isaac Singer, Enemies, a Love Story, with Angelica Houston, for which I was nominated for the Academy Award in 1989.
Wow.
I cannot easily work at Hollywood now, because after forming PJ Media, despite the fact I've written several hit movies, they don't like me that much anymore.
Wow. So you've kind of blacklisted, at least unofficially. Okay.
Unofficially, because they don't need to do it officially.
All right, so let's talk about the impeachment inquiry.
Well, I can't imagine anything more ill-conceived in American history, except that the actual Russia probe, which predates it and, of course, leads into it, was probably the... I just got off the air with John Hinderaker on Dennis Prager's show, and I said this, and John agreed that, this is the most treasonous act in the history of the United States of America. They effectively invented the whole Russia probe in advance.
Hmm.
So that leads into what's going on now. It's all nonsense. Whether you like Trump or not, it's horrifying.
It
has nothing to do with the truth.
At the gym this morning, and by the way, if you could maybe move your mouth a little bit away from the speaker or the microphone, I saw a poll listed at MSNBC while I was at the gym. That's where I saw it. And it said that supposedly 52% of the American people not only think that Trump should be impeached, but should be removed. 52%. Could that be true?
No. I mean, these polls, when I ran PJ Media for many years, we actually conducted polls, and I got to learn how they're done from the inside. You can pretty much get any result you want from a poll by formulating the questions in a certain way, having the pollsters go to a certain group. And if you're seeing a poll from MSNBC, you know what it's going to say in advance. It's nonsense. The poll said Trump had about a 4% chance of being president before he became president, as you may recall.
Yes.
So I wouldn't, part of the importance of these polls is that they're used to manipulate the public.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
It is scary. And one of the things that's really disturbing is that, okay, after Trump won, then there were a lot on the left who were saying, well, he didn't win legitimately. He somehow cheated because we know the polls were right. So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy in reverse or whatever. It's like, it's just bizarre.
It's lying. It's the old-fashioned word for it.
Yeah. Why?
But we are where we are. I think that people listening to the show are probably alert people, and they should pay a lot of attention. And, one of the things I've noticed in a lot of the posts that I've written for PJ Media and for Real Clear Politics is that a lot of people are very depressed and defeatist. And I understand that, but that's a dangerous position.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it's funny. Just earlier today, I was watching video of audio. It was video of Ronald Reagan giving his last radio address. The date happened to be January 14th, 1989. But you can see video of him doing it. And apparently he broke one of his fingers. And you can see it with his broken finger. But it was so optimistic. And he was talking about the Puritans and the city upon a hill. And he was talking about, you know, the great quest for freedom. That is the American saga and so forth. And it's like, wow, we need to be reminded of that kind of stuff again and again.
Yes, and we have to remind ourselves because, you know, every human being has two sides to their optimism and pessimism, but the optimism is what gets things done, and you know, Reagan is a fine example of that, of course.
Okay, let's talk about specifically. Donald Trump was on the phone with the leader from Ukraine in July. They taped it. He released the transcript when there was any kind of controversy uttered about this. And one of the things that is very troubling, and speaking of the media and their bias, is he said, I want you to do me a favor. And then a lot of the media outlets maybe would put dot, 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 or, you know, for an ellipsis. And then they would go right to the Biden request, which comes, you know, more than 500 words later. The implication is, you know, Mr. President of Ukraine, congratulations, do me a favor. You know, what can you help me get some dirt on my, you know, opposing candidate?
No, what he was looking for, I can tell you, I'll stop you right here because you're so right. What he was looking for information on was a company called CrowdStrike. It's right there in the transcript. CrowdStrike is a computer iCloud cloud company in the Silicon Valley, run by an enemy of Putin's, who that was used by the FBI to investigate the hacking of the DNC's server and then said it was the Russians. Of course, what happened was that the FBI never investigated themselves, which is very odd. The DNC wouldn't allow the DNC asked for an outside investigator, not the FBI. The whole thing is quite weird, and you can see why Trump was interested in this. A lot of the lines with the CrowdStrike business, I won't bore your listeners, you can look this up, lead to the Ukraine. Ukraine is a very corrupt place. In fact, Burisma, the company that Biden's son was working for, is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world. In fact, new information just coming out today shows that they looted hundreds of billions from the International Monetary Fund and effectively from the U.S. Treasury. So the corruption is staggering in that country just as it was in Russia.
Hundreds of billions of dollars, mostly from America. Here we have this 22-something trillion
IMF, so
debt.
It's America, Europe, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. I know, but do you think about here we have the $22 trillion debt. And, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, pretty soon that adds up to real money. Okay, what are your comments about Biden and Biden's son? I mean, they don't look very good in all this.
Not only good. Well, Biden's son is a sad case of a drug-addicted son of a famous father who didn't raise him well. But apparently, everybody can see this on the Internet now. There's a whole bunch of copies of photos from 2014 of Biden playing golf with his son and the two executives of Burisma on a fancy golf course in Long Island. Biden said to the press, to Fox News about a week ago, that he didn't know anything about Burisma or his son's job, and there's the photos of him with the executives playing golf in Long Island. So, you know, what the man is a liar. The first class. He started out in law school, not even a great law school, but a mediocre law school. He plagiarized his law, you know, papers in law school. then he plagiarized two more times. As a writer, I find plagiarism a major crime, but, you know, that you'd have to allow us writers to be annoyed by plagiarism because we make money from writing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's thou shalt not steal. That's a form of stealing, absolutely. Okay, what about the fact that Biden apparently wanted this Ukrainian prosecutor or that type who was looking into corruption by the Bidens, he wanted that guy fired. And that's part of the issue, right?
Absolutely part of the issue. They're saying, the Democrats, in defense, that this guy was corrupt. He might have been. They're all corrupt. That's the problem. This guy, Zelensky, the current president of Ukraine, just elected, was elected to get rid of all this corruption.
To drain the swamp.
There was corruption on all,
yeah.
Corruption on all sides of,
yeah.
Of the Ukrainian situation.
So he's trying to drain the Ukrainian swamp. And okay. Now, what about the fact that Adam Schiff, the U.S. congressman, obviously one of Trump's biggest enemies in the House of Representatives, when he opened the proceedings for the impeachment inquiry, he claims now this was all a joke, but he invented this dialogue as if Donald Trump was Teflon, Mafiosa Don or something. I mean, seriously, it's like this is really in bad taste. That's the nicest thing you could say about it.
Exactly. I think the problem with Adam Schiff is pathological. I think the man is not of this world. I mean, there's something. He lied for 2 years about the Russia probe,
yeah.
Saying that they had proof. He'd read proof. And then there was no proof. Of course, everybody who knew anything about this knew there would never be any proof in the first place. So the whole thing. I mean, the American public has been lied to. The horrible thing is that most of the media goes along with this because they think they're right on some level. You know, it's a very Stalinist way of looking at things, as the communists used to say, by any means necessary.
Wow. That's scary. Do you think, in a sense, that the impeachment inquiry is essentially Mueller phase two? You know, the same idea.
It's exactly the same. And with exactly the same amount of evidence to back it up. I mean, and the same people lying about it. It also is related to the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah.
Again, same thing. Lies, lies, and more lies. Then people. What was that famous line by Churchill? A lie goes around the world before the truth picks up its pants.
Wow. And I've heard a quote like it attributed to Mark Twain. A lie travels halfway around the world while truth is still putting on its boots. Yeah, no, it's amazing.
You might be. You know, Churchill and Twain get quoted a lot.
Okay, so we have about a minute to go. I have a theory. Saul Alinsky, who, you know, by any means necessary, Marxist, dedicated his work, Rules for Radicals, to Satan and Lucifer. He essentially, intellectually, mentored both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And the transition from Obama to Trump was probably the least pleasant transition from one president to another, I think, in the history of the country.
Well, it was certainly in recent years. I mean, if you go back and look at things, you know, John Adams and Jefferson weren't exactly friendly to each other. It's kind of amazing if you go back and look at their dialogues. But I think you're true in modern times.
Yeah. Okay, we have basically 20 seconds left. What do you want to say? Again, I will refer people to pjmedia.com. Your book, The Goat, is available at Amazon. Roger Simon's our guest. But go ahead and give us a 20-second concluding thought on impeachment.
Well, I just say pay attention to everything. Don't give up the fight. And, you know, follow that. You know, Churchill was the one who is a great inspiration to us in bad times. He's a fantastic historical figure because he remember his speech, never, never give up. Well, don't.
Very good. All right, Roger Simon, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.